To see y'all this evening. Glad that you're here. Let's take our Bibles over to, we're going to be in every prophet book in the Bible tonight as we look at an introduction to the prophets. But we'll start in Isaiah. So maybe turn to Isaiah chapter 1 and then make sure tonight that you have some of the notes. You want your colorful Old Testament sheet that looks like this. And then you're going to want, it's just a one sheet. I have mine on two, but it's just a one sheet, one of them is just a few blanks, and then the other one is a chart that looks like this. You're going to need that tonight. And I'll just warn you right at the outset tonight, it's going to feel a little bit like you're in a Bible college class tonight, and it's more or less just teaching, because this is going to be an introduction. We finished our history books of the Old Testament, right? There's 17 history books. We finished our poetic books, the five poetry books in the Old Testament, and now we're moving into a new section here where we're going to look at the books of the prophets. And so tonight, what I want to do is just do a little bit of an overview of the books of the prophets, and kind of like, how many of you right now, this is I think it might be timely, let's see. How many of you right now, as you're reading through the Bible, through the year or whatever, you're in the either the prophets or the minor prophets right now? Not? No? Oh, I thought we'd... Okay, there's a few. I didn't know if you'd be there yet. But I'm hoping this will be timely. When you start reading through a lot of these, especially the minor prophets, if you don't know who he's talking to and kind of when he's prophesying about, some of that stuff can be pretty hard to figure out what's going on. And so tonight, really what we want to do is set the context for these 17 books of the Bible. So that's what the chart is. So I'm hoping that by the time we get done tonight, you'll have an idea of the order that the books are written in. And then you'll have on this chart, if you'll notice that we've got each book in biblical order, then we have when. What I mean by that is, when is the prophet prophesying? Like, what is the time period? And then who? Who is he prophesying to? When you know those things, it makes these books much more understandable as you're reading them. So I hope that's a help. But what that'll do is it'll set us up for the next several weeks as we go through, the next several months as we go through the books of the prophets. Now, the books of the prophets are just that. They're books of the prophets. They're called books of prophecy because they're written by a prophet, okay? Don't misunderstand. There's prophecy all throughout your Bible. We've already gone through quite a bit. Like, we just got through a Song of Solomon, and most people think Saul and Solomon is just a ooey gooey love story between two people, and kind of blush at the reading. But did you know how much? Was anyone surprised how much prophecy was in there and how prophetic that book is? Very prophetic about end times events. And all the books we've been in so far have had some prophecy in them. So it's not to say these are the only books with prophecy. These are the books that were written by the prophets. And so we're gonna go through this tonight. Just to kind of get us started here, I'm hoping that this Isaiah study is giving you kind of a big picture of the Bible as a whole. And so I want you to know just kind of how your book is divided. So here we go. We got 17 books that are the books of the prophets. And of those, five are considered major prophets, and 12 are considered minor prophets. Now, we've come up with man has come up with the major prophet, minor prophet designation, so it doesn't really matter a whole lot, but it's not that those are more important, it's just that they're usually bigger books. So Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, Daniel. Daniel's not a huge book, but he has a way of packing loads and loads of prophecy into just a few verses. And so that's why we call him a major prophet. But the first five prophet books, starting with Isaiah, are your major prophets. Then the next 12 are the minor prophets. Again, the major prophets are so named due to the length of their books, not necessarily the importance of the books. As we we're going to fill out this chart now, and this is just the bottom half of the chart, just so hopefully you can see it a little bit better. So your chart has the history books lined up at the top, right? So as you look at your chart, you'll notice these two dotted lines that come down. One of them comes down in the books of the Kings there, and the other one comes down at the end of the exile, right there before the 400 silent years. All these prophet books were written between those dotted lines, okay? So as we're looking at the books of, you know, so we kind of put them in order there chronologically. You'll notice that, like, there's an arrow, 1st and 2nd Chronicles, there's an arrow back to 2nd Samuel, because, again, the Chronicles details events that happened before the captivity. The same with Esther. Esther was written during the time of Ezra, between the two halves of Ezra. And so we've got those books, and they're chronologically arranged for the most part. And we're trying to put all these prophet books chronologically in as well, but I just can't fit them all in that space. Does that make sense? So these blue books at the bottom are your prophet books, and it looks like that, you know, the first one is over here like by numbers, but I just want you to know, in our minds, we got to crunch them all in between those two dotted lines. Does that make sense? Okay. Also, you need to know this, that in the Bible, they're not organized chronologically. So Isaiah was not the first prophet book. He's the fifth. It's how they're organized in the Bible is, first you have the major prophets, so the bigger books, the five. Then you have the minor prophets. Of the major and minor, in each one, they're in order like this. The prophets that were prophesying pre-exile, so the exile is that red line there, the Babylonian captivity. The prophets that prophesied before that, it's in order that way. And then the prophesied during and after. So it's major prophets, pre, during, after. Actually, there's no major prophets after, but pre and during. And then the minor prophets, pre, and then after. There's no minor prophets prophesying during. I'm not trying to confuse you. I just want you to know that your Bible has organized them as the bigger books and then the smaller books, and they're arranged by... then they're roughly arranged chronologically, but not really exactly. But what we're going to do is, so these blue books here, the 12 books on the left, the number one is the top left book, and we're going to go 1, 2, 3, 4. Then we're going to drop down 5, 6, 7, 8, drop down 9, 10, 11, 12. That's the actual chronological order that we're going to put them in. And so that's kind of how we're going to move through it tonight. So just wanted to explain that as we go. Okay, so everyone's confused. Let's keep moving here. We'll start with Isaiah. So what we're going to do now is fill out both your blue chart. So you'll notice here Isaiah is the fifth prophet to write, but he's the first one that we're going to look at, because we're going to go through them in biblical order. And so you can write Isaiah in on your colorful chart there in the fifth blue book that's there. And then we're going to fill in this chart. So kind of have this handy and take your Bibles to Isaiah 1 and look at verse 1. And again, this is going to be a little bit different because we're going to go through each book. And basically, we're trying to find out this. When is this written? What's the time period? And who is it written to? Now, you can look at this chart and you can see that anyone that's left of that red bar is going to be a pre-exile prophet. Anyone in the red bar is going to be a during the exile prophet, and anyone after the red bar is a post-exile prophet. And that's how we understand the prophets, because they are prophesying all around this one event. So Babylon has been prophesied to come and take over Israel and take them captive, and the prophets are arranged around that event. That red bar is one of the most important events for Israel in the Old Testament. That's kind of what all the prophets lead up to, and that kind of a thing. So we're organizing them by pre, during, or post exile. Okay, so Isaiah, obviously, you can write in your box there for when. You can write pre-exile. He's pre-exile. And we know this because we've been studying Isaiah now for several weeks, several months actually. And so we know that Isaiah is prophesying before the captivity. Remember, he keeps telling them the captivity's coming. It's on the horizon. and he's prophesying before that. But let's see a verse 1 of chapter 1. the vision of Isaiah, the son of Amos, which he saw concerning. So here it is. Who is it concerning? Judah and Jerusalem in the days of Uzziah, Jotham, Ahaz, and Hezekiah, kings of Judah. So on your chart there, under who, right? The southern kingdom of Israel. Jerusalem and Judah, that's the southern kingdom. So remember, Rehoboam split the kingdom right there where you see that dotted line. That's supposed to be about the time that the kingdom split. And that's when the prophets start doing their prophesying. Okay, so he comes in, he splits the kingdom. There's a northern kingdom, the 10 tribes of Israel, and there's a southern kingdom. And some of the prophets prophesy in the southern kingdom. Some of them prophesy, only one directly prophesies in the north. There's a few that prophesy a little bit to both. And there's a couple prophets that prophesy to other kingdoms. But that's kind of what we're trying to figure out. Who are they talking to and when are they doing it? Well, Isaiah is talking to the southern kingdom because he identifies them in Judah and Jerusalem. But you know this, as we've studied Isaiah, he has thrown out prophecies to just about everybody, right? The burden of Babylon, the burden of, he's talked about Syria, he's talked about Edom, he's talked about everybody. But primarily his book deals with the southern kingdom. And he is prophesying pre-exile because in verse 1, it's in the days of Uzziah, Jotham, Ahaz, and Hezekiah. These are kings in the southern kingdom that rule before Nebuchadnezzar destroys Jerusalem and takes them out. Okay, so Isaiah, you got this on your chart. Pre-exile, you can write Isaiah 1:1 as your reference. And then who? It'd be the southern kingdom. Has everybody got that? Okay, so that's what we're going to do. As we run through, we're just going to go through this big list. And then I do have a little point to make at the end because I don't ever want you just leaving with nothing. But it is going to seem a little bit like Brother Mark's going to think he's sitting in class again in Old Testament history, I guess. I don't know. I was later in life when I went to Bible college and never sat in the classrooms. So I don't really know what they do. But anyway, let's look at Jeremiah. Jeremiah chapter number 1. So that'd be our next prophet. So we can write him in. And you're going to want to write him on the 9th book, okay? So chronologically, he was the 9th writer. And at least to the best of our knowledge, with the context clues in the book, that's what I believe. Okay, Jeremiah 1. Okay, we're trying to figure out who he's prophesying to and when and all those things. Jeremiah 1, verse 2. To whom the word of the Lord came in the days of Josiah, the son of Ammon, king of Judah, in the 13th year of his reign. And it came also in the days of Jehoiakim, the son of Josiah, king of Judah, unto the end of the 11th year of Zedekiah, the son of Josiah, king of Judah, unto the carrying away of Jerusalem captive in the 5th month. So notice this, he's prophesying to the southern kingdom, okay? We see that there as he's mentioning Judah, he's mentioning Jerusalem. These kings that he's mentioning are southern kings. So he's prophesying to the southern kingdom, so that's the who, and he's pre-exile. First of all, because I put him to the left of the chart, but did you notice what he said? He started prophesying in the days, let's see who it was here, Jehoiakim. But then he prophesied all the way until the carrying away. So his prophecy begins pre-exile, but Jeremiah saw the exile. He saw it. So he prophesied from there until they were taken. Okay, but he's a pre-exile prophet. So when you read Jeremiah, you're going to hear him give warnings about this impending destruction that's coming. Okay, so everybody got that? He's pre-exile. Jeremiah 1, 2, and 3 is your reference, and he's prophesying to the southern kingdom. All right, then let's look at the book of Lamentations. Now, Jeremiah also writes Lamentations, and to lament something is basically to mourn something. That's what it means. If you're lamenting, you're mourning. And so this is Jeremiah's, you might say, response to the exile. Okay? So let's look at a verse here, Lamentations 1 and verse 3. Judah is gone into captivity because of affliction, because of great servitude. She dwelleth among the heathen. She findeth no rest. All her persecutors overtook her between the straits. Okay, so let's write Jeremiah in, or Lamentations in, right next to Jeremiah, because Jeremiah prophesied pre-exile. He wrote Jeremiah and he wrote Lamentations. So he had a long span of prophecy, starting pre-exile, ending at the time of the captivity. So what I wrote here on the when is I wrote upon exile. So Lamentations wasn't really written like in the midst of the exile. It's not a prophecy that's dealing with Israelites who are living in. It's more of it's a lamentation. It's a mourning of the fact that they went into exile. So I just put upon exile. Lamentations 1:3 is the reference. And then he is also, of course, it's Jeremiah. He's prophesying to the same group, the southern kingdom. So on your chart there, you should have Lamentations, upon exile, Lamentations 3:1-3, southern kingdom. Y'all got that? Are y'all keeping up? You understand what we're doing here? Okay. Say what? 10th, yes. Yep, he's in the 10th spot. And really, this is one that, like, it was written right on the, just right on the red line over there. But since Jeremiah wrote it, I just put them together because it's the same author. But, we don't really know. A lot of these prophets were prophesying literally days before the and so it's hard to tell who got theirs written down first, you know. But I group him with Jeremiah, or Lamentations with Jeremiah, because he wrote it. So yeah, 10th spot. Okay, let's look at Ezekiel. So go just to the right. So it's going to be real easy. You're pretty much going to look at the first chapter of every one of these to find the context. Usually that's what we can do. Not every time, but usually that's what we can do. So Ezekiel, you can write him down. He is during the captivity, okay? So in the bottom book there, under during the captivity, Ezekiel is prophesying during the captivity. We see that in Ezekiel 1, verse 1. Now it came to pass in the 30th year, in the fourth month, in the fifth day of the month, I was among the captives by the river Kabar, that the heavens were opened, and I saw visions of God. So Ezekiel is prophesying with the captives, okay? So his whole prophecy takes place during this time when Nebuchadnezzar is ruling. And so that helps you when you're reading Ezekiel. It really helps you to know why he is saying the things that he's saying. And he is prophesying to the southern kingdom because, remember, the southern kingdom is the ones that went into captivity from Nebuchadnezzar. So this captivity happens in 606 BC. The northern kingdom goes into captivity before Israel, and they go into captivity, I believe, in 721 BC, and it's Assyria that takes them over. And so by the time Ezekiel is prophesying, the only one that's left is southern Judah, and they're in the captivity. Okay, so Ezekiel prophesies. You should have written down during the when, it's exile. He's an exile prophet. Ezekiel 1:1 is a good reference, and he's prophesying to the southern kingdom. Everybody good? All right. See, I love this kind of stuff, but I'm not sure everybody does. So this kind of makes me nervous when we do these kind of things. But I just like studying and knowing what stuff is. I think we all should do more of that. Okay. Daniel, you should know this. You know the story of Daniel. He prophesied during the reign of Nebuchadnezzar, right? And actually, even after, he dealt with the Medes. He dealt with Darius and Cyrus. And so he dealt with the Babylonian Empire, all 70 years of it. And then he dealt with the Persians for a while. So Daniel, in Daniel 1, if you go there, he is taken captive. And actually, I believe he probably wrote before Ezekiel, because Daniel was like day one. You know, day one, Nebuchadnezzar comes in, takes him captive, and Daniel is swept away right there. The reason we know that is because of the dates that line up. So chapter 1 and verse 1, you can go back and match the date of the captivity to 2 Kings when it happened. In the third year of the reign, Jehoiakim, king of Judah, came Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, into Jerusalem, and besieged it. Okay, so we saw that Jeremiah said he prophesied until Jehoiakim. Okay, so on up to the exile. Daniel's prophecy starts at the exile And of course, his whole book takes place over those 70 years plus some years of the Medo-Persian reign. So Daniel is an exile prophet. You can write him in during the red line there. Good reference is Daniel 1:1. And he is also, because he's in the captivity, we know he's prophesying to the southern kingdom, because the northern kingdom is long gone by the time the captivity happens. All right. So those are the ones that maybe you're familiar with. Now we're going to go to the minor prophets, which I just find that all of us, including myself, at times have a little bit more difficulty remembering what all the minor prophets are prophesying about. So let's go to Hosea, okay? Hosea chapter 1 and verse 1. Hosea 1, it says, the word of the Lord that came to Hosea, the son of Beeri, in the days of Uzziah, Jotham, Ahaz, and Hezekiah, kings of Judah, and in the days of Jeroboam, the son of Joash, king of Israel. So he's prophesying during the days of these kings. So when would he be prophesying? He's pre-exile. He's pre-exile because these kings didn't reign after the exile, right? So he's pre-exile. We can write him in right here, the fourth book that was written, we think. Hosea, fourth prophet, pre-exile. A good reference you can write in there on the when is Hosea 1:1. And then notice verses 2 through 4 with me, because we need to see who he's prophesying to. And he hasn't told us just yet. He's prophesying during... Look at verse 1 again. He gives us a list of the kings of Judah, but then notice this. He says, in the days of Jeroboam, the son of Joash, king of Israel. Well, Israel is referring to the northern kingdom. So he gives us a reference to the northern kingdom. So we need to read more to see like who he's talking to. Verse 2, the beginning of the word of the Lord by Hosea. And the Lord said to Hosea, go take thee a wife of the whoredoms and children of whoredoms. For the land hath committed great whoredom, departing from the Lord. By the way, when I read a book like Hosea, I'm always thankful that I'm a pastor in the New Testament times and not one of these prophets. Because some of the things that they had to do to get the point across was pretty extreme. And this is one of those. Verse 3. So he went and took Gomer, the daughter of Diblaim, which conceived and bare him a son. The Lord said unto him, call his name Jezreel, for yet a little while, and I will avenge the blood of Jezreel upon the house of Jehu, and I will cause to cease the kingdom of the house of Israel. Okay, now he's mentioning characters in the north. So he's a prophet to the northern kingdom. Okay? The northern kingdom. So Hosea is a pre-exile prophet. So this is interesting. He's prophesying before the exile of the southern kingdom, but he's actually prophesying to the northern tribes. And the northern tribes, by the way, they never got it right. After the division, they never had a good king. They never worshiped the Lord. The northern kingdoms never got it right. So it kind of makes sense why his prophecy was so harsh. Very hard to find much grace in Hosea. It's there. It's in every book of the Bible, but a lot of bad stuff there. Okay, let's go to the next one. Joel. Okay, did everybody get that? He's pre-exile. Hosea 1:1. He's prophesying to the northern kingdom, Hosea 1, 2 through 4 is where you get that. And then actually the rest of it too. Okay, Joel. Joel. And he doesn't tell us right away, like most of them do in the on the first couple of verses there. So actually go to chapter 3. And I wrote the wrong verse down, so hold on, give me one second. Okay, chapter 3, look at verse 1. It says, for behold, in those days and in that time, when I shall bring again the captivity of Judah and Jerusalem. Okay, so Joel is a pre-exile prophet. He's prophesying before the exile. He's talking about the captivity of Judah and Jerusalem, so we know he's prophesying to the southern kingdom. We also know this because of verse 16. So you could write down that he's pre-exile, Joel 3:16. or sorry, Joel 3, 1. But also notice verse 16, the Lord also shall roar out of Zion, which is a southern city, and utter his voice from Jerusalem. The heavens and the earth shall shake, but the Lord will be the hope of his people and the strength of the children of Israel. Okay, so he's prophesying to the southern kingdom. Okay, so Joel, pre-exile, Joel 3:16 and Joel 3:1, prophesying to the southern kingdom. Okay. Oh, sorry. Right there, first book written, Joel. He's the first one. Thank you. Everybody else, are we caught up? Okay, good. Yeah, if I miss something, just holler at me. The next one's Amos. Let's look at Amos. And chapter 1, verse 1, this one is right here, as most of them are. The words of Amos, who was among the herdmen of Tekoa, which he saw concerning Israel in the days of Uzziah, king of Judah, the days of Jeroboam, son of Joash, king of Israel, 2 years before the earthquake. Okay, so he gives us a really good timeline, but Uzziah and those guys, they were pre-exile. So again, if we're dealing with Israel kings, we know it's pre-exile, right? And so Amos is a pre-exile prophet. And notice he says there, he's prophesying Joash, king of Israel, and then Jeroboam, son of Joash, king of Israel. So he's actually prophesying again to the northern kingdom, because those are northern kings that are mentioned. And we can write Amos in as the third book, the third prophet. So Amos, when pre-exile, Amos 1:1, prophesying to the northern kingdom. Okay. All right, let's go to Obadiah. Every time I'm in these, I'm singing the song in my head, the Old Testament book song, because it just, these, Joel, Amos, Obadiah, Jonah, Micah, Nahum. Obadiah, let's look. It's only one chapter. Look at verse 11 and 12. Now, this is interesting. Actually, let's do it a little bit different. Let's go to verse 1. Let's see who he's talking to first before we see where he's talking about. So verse 1. The vision of Obadiah, thus saith the Lord God concerning Edom, the Edomites. This is Esau's family. Esau's family was not kind to Israel. Remember, they grew up and there was a little nation of Edomites that were Esau's folks. And Israel a couple of different times had needed to pass through and they wouldn't let them pass through. And so God judges them. We actually have already studied a prophecy against the Edomites out of Isaiah. So Obadiah, he's not prophesying to Israel, north or south. He's prophesying to the Edomite, okay? Now, knowing that, look at verse 11 and 12. In the day that thou stoodest on the other side, in the day that the strangers carried away captive his forces and foreigners entering into his gates and cast lots upon Jerusalem, even thou wast as one of them. But thou shouldest not have looked on the day of thy brother in the day that he became a stranger, neither shouldest thou have rejoiced over the children of Judah in the day of their destruction? Neither shouldest thou have spoken proudly in the day of distress. Okay, so here it goes. It's a pre-exile book for Edom because they have not been overtaken yet, but they watched Israel. So it's kind of hard to tell when it was written. We're going to put Obadiah right there on the line. Okay. So I see him, he's right at the captivity because the Edomites have not been overtaken, but Judah has, right? So he's about to be overtaken and God's basically saying you should not have mocked and taken joy in Israel being overtaken because they're coming for you next. So he's not prophesying during, of course, he's not even prophesying to Israel, so he's not in that captivity, but it's just before, right there on the line. So Obadiah is the 12th book. Joel, Amos, Obadiah. We're halfway there. We're actually more than halfway. So how are we doing, everybody? We're okay? Doing fine? Everybody awake? The Edomites. Obadiah was speaking to the Edomites. So on your chart there, Obadiah, when we're writing pre-exile, verses 11, 12, okay? That's how you find that. Then he's prophesying to the Edomite. That's the who, and you can reference verse 1 to find that. Joel is to the southern kingdom. Yep. Any other? All right. Very good. Let's look at Jonah. Who can tell me who Jonah prophesied to? Nineveh. Very good. So go ahead and write that in. Jonah prophesied against Nineveh. He actually did a little more than that, but that's what we know him for. So who he prophesied to? Nineveh. We see that in, if you want to write a reference down, over in your who box, so write Nineveh and then write Jonah 1 verse 2, where God tells Jonah, arise, go to Nineveh. Now, we're not able to find in the book of Jonah exactly when that took place, so we have to look elsewhere. If you'll go with me, hold your place here, because we're going to be right back, but go to 2 Kings 14. 2 Kings 14, and maybe you've never noticed Jonah anywhere else in the Bible, but he's actually referenced here in the books of the Kings. So 2 Kings, just to give you a little, if he's in 2 Kings, we know it's after the division, but before the captivity, because that's when 2 Kings is. So he's going to be a pre-exile, so we're going to write him right there, the second prophet, pre-exile. And notice 2 Kings 14, look down with me in verse 23. It says, in the 15th year of Amaziah, son of Joash, king of Judah, Jeroboam, the son of Joash, king of Israel, began to reign in Samaria and reigned 41 years. He that which was evil in the sight of the Lord, he departed not from all the sins of Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, who made Israel to sin. He restored the coast of Israel from entering of Hamath under the sea of the plain, according to the word of the Lord God of Israel, which he spake by the hand of his servant Jonah. There he is. So Jonah did more than his whole, can we say, boondoggle with the Ninevites there in the book of Jonah. He's prophesying right here. And so again, he's a pre-exile prophet. According to 2 Kings, he was prophesying a bit to the northern kingdom there, but mainly his prophecy that we know him for is Nineveh. Okay, so as you fill out your chart, it'll be the when is pre-exile. You can reference 2 Kings 14, 23 through 25. The who is Nineveh. And like I said, that's a for the most part, Nineveh. And you can find that in Jonah chapter 1, verse 2. Bless you. All right, we good on that one? Good. Let's go to Micah. Jonah, Micah. Let's go to Micah chapter 1. The word of the Lord that came to Micah, the Moreshethite, in the days of Jotham, Ahaz, Hezekiah, kings of Judah, which he saw concerning Samaria and Jerusalem. Okay, so we're dealing with Israel's kings, so we know we're pre-exile, okay? Pre-exile. So let's write Micah in here. Number 6. Number 6. He prophesied according to verse 1 to the north and the south, because he's referencing both sets of kings there, and then if you read Micah, you find that the prophecy is going both directions there. So Micah is a prophet to the north and the south. So when pre-exile, Micah 1:1, who he's prophesying to the north and southern Israel, particularly there, even Samaria. You notice that? Concerning Samaria and Jerusalem, which Samaria is the area just south of Jerusalem there. That's Micah. Jonah, Micah, Nahum. Let's go to Nahum. We're doing good. We're moving on here. Nahum, if you'll go to Nahum chapter 3. Actually, let's do it this way. If you're in Nahum, look at chapter 1, verse 1. The burden of what? Nineveh. Nahum also prophesied against Nineveh. What's interesting is, on your who box, write Nineveh, but then write 100 years after Jonah. Okay? So, and we know this because of the evidence I'm going to give you, this populous No, which is a city in Egypt that falls. So what did Nineveh do when Jonah preached? They repented. All of them, 120,000 of them. 100 years later, Nahum showing up, and they're in big trouble because they've slipped right back to where they are. Of course, 100 years is a long time. But anyway, just interesting. There's another book here to Nineveh. Go to chapter 3 and kind of give us the timeline here. Nahum chapter 3. I almost said Nineveh chapter 3, but we don't have a book called Nineveh. So Nahum chapter 3, look at verse 8. Art thou better than populous No? That's a city, a big city, that was situate among the rivers, that had the waters round about it, whose rampart was the sea, and her wall was from the sea. Ethiopia and Egypt were her strength, and it was infinite. Put and Lubim were thy helpers, yet she was carried away. She went into captivity. Her young children were also dashed into pieces at the top of the streets, and they cast lots for the honorable men, and all her great men were bound in chains. Okay, so this is, he's a pre-exile prophet. He's prophesying after this big city fell, which we believe to be 660 BC. But Nineveh fell in 612 BC, and the captivity was in 606 BC. We're BC, so the smaller the number, the later the year. Okay, so he's a pre-exile prophet, Nahum. He's prophesying again, between 660 and 612, somewhere in there, based upon those cities and populous No falling and Nineveh falling. Okay, so there's a lot for Nahum we could write. He's a pre-exile. The when is pre-exile. Nahum 3, 8 through 10. You could even make a little note that No, the capital N-O, is an Egyptian city that fell in 660. Nineveh eventually falls in 612. All that's taking place before Israel's captivity. So we know he's a pre-exile prophet. And he's prophesying again, who? To Nineveh, 100 years after Jonah. And we see that in chapter 1, verse 1. I should have made the box bigger for that one. Too much stuff in there. See, I did make my box bigger, but then when I deleted my stuff so you could fill it in, it made it small again. So sorry about that. Okay, Habakkuk, chapter 1, and there's not a lot of evidence here other than we know that they're not overtaken yet because there's a nation coming. Verse 6, for lo, I raise up the Chaldeans, that bitter and hasty nation, which shall march through the breadth of the land to possess it. The dwelling places that are not there. So he's saying Babylon is coming, right? It's a future event that's coming. So Habakkuk is pre-exile. I got him at number 11, Habakkuk. So he's pre-exile, Habakkuk 1:6, and he's prophesying directly to that southern tribe, because he's warning them of the Babylonian captivity. Remember, the northern kingdom was not overtaken by Babylon. They were taken by Assyria. So if a prophet is prophesying about Babylon coming, he's prophesying to the southern kingdom. So Habakkuk is pre-exile. You can write down Habakkuk 1:6. And then under the who category, prophesying to the southern kingdom. Then on your colorful chart, he's right there, the 11th book. And we got one more pre-exile prophet remaining. Let's go to Zephaniah. If you turn too many pages, you're going to miss him. So that's what I did. Zephaniah, chapter 1, verse 1 here. The word of the Lord which came unto Zephaniah, son of Cushai, the son of Gedaliah, the son of Amariah, the son of Hezekiah, in the days of Josiah, the son of Amon, king of Judah. So if we're talking about Israel's kings, when are we? We're pre-exile. Okay, so Zephaniah is pre-exile. You can reference Zephaniah 1:1. And right there in verse 1, he's prophesying to the southern kingdom, the kings of Judah. So he's our last pre-exile prophet. So we got 12 pre-exile prophets. You should have those all filled in. We've got 2 that prophesied during the captivity. Now we have 3. The remaining 3 are the post-captivity prophets. So again, that's how it's arranged biblically. It's arranged by the large ones are first. There's 5 of those. Those 5 are arranged by pre and during the exile. Then there's all the minor prophets, and they're arranged in order of pre-exile and then post-exile. So now we've got the post-exile. So you can cheat if you want and write post-exile on the next 3 because you know that's all we got left, right? So let's look at Haggai. This is going to make a lot of sense now. If you read, for example, you read Haggai, and you're going to see that they're building a temple. This is post-exile. Why would they can't build a temple when Babylon's there, right? So this is after the exile. And there's actually a lot of evidence, but verse 1, Haggai 1:1, in the second year of Darius the king, in the 6th month, in the 1st day of the month, came the word of the Lord by Haggai the prophet unto Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, governor of Judah, and to Joshua, the son of Josedech, the high priest, saying. So in verse 1, there's a lot of things that you can connect. You got to pay attention to like the first couple of verses of every book. Because right here, we see it's the second year of Darius. Darius is the Mede. He's overtaken Babylon. He's part of the Medo-Persian Empire. So we know it's happening after the 70-year captivity is over, because we don't have a Babylonian reigning anymore. We have Darius. And also notice the reference to Zerubbabel there. What does that remind you of? That brings you back to the book of Nehemiah, right? And Ezra, when they're rebuilding. So look on your chart and notice where these books line up. Look right above them, and you should see that these books right here are going to line up with Ezra and Nehemiah. Because these 3 books, these post-exile books, are dealing with Jews who came back, this remnant that came back, and is trying to rebuild Jerusalem, rebuild the temple, and then and so on and so forth. So Haggai then is, we write this post-exile. We reference Haggai 1:1. And he is prophesying, I'm just going to say it like this. The northern kingdom, when they went to Assyria, they never came back. They never made it back. The southern kingdom, when they went, not all of them made it back. In fact, it's a staggeringly low number of Israelites that actually returned. 55,000 or something like that in Ezra, or in Nehemiah rather. So what I'm saying, who is this to? It's to the returning remnant, okay? So in the who box, right, returning remnant. Because it's not that all of Judah, it would be southern Judah or southern kingdom, but it's not that they all came back. He is prophesying to those who returned to build. Haggai, Zechariah, Malachi, they are there and they're dealing and they're prophesying while Ezra, Nehemiah, Zerubbabel are doing their work. Okay? So it's really cool to read those histories. And like while you're reading those, turn over and read these 3 prophets. Because you'll see that they're all working on the same stage there, as they're trying to deal with this returning remnant. So Haggai, post-exile, he's prophesying to the returning remnant. Okay, let's move on. Zechariah.
Where are we putting him?
Oh, sorry, putting him right. He's the first one right after the captivity. See, you guys are almost done with this, and y'all can go frame that, hang it on your wall, look at it as you're falling asleep at night, you know, all that. You're ready, almost ready to do that, okay? All right, Zechariah. Let's look at Zechariah. And it's right here again. It's going to be very similar to all these three are. Malachi, we got to use some context clues, but Zechariah 1:1, in the eighth month, the second year of Darius. Okay, same thing. The word of the Lord came unto Zechariah, son of Berechiah, the son of Iddo, the prophet, saying. Okay, so Zechariah is a post-exile. So we write when post-exile. We reference Zechariah 1:1. He's also the only people left to prophesy to is the returning remnant. That's who he's prophesying to. And then lastly, we have, let's put him right here. Haggai, Zechariah, second to last there. And I'll go ahead and put Malachi up here. He's the last book right before the 400 silent years. So then Malachi, I don't have a verse reference to give you. What you got to do in Malachi is use the context clues. And if you remember, Malachi, first of all, he's prophesying to a group of Israelites who the temple is already standing. And if you remember, he's scathing them for mistreating the temple, mistreating the tithes that go in the temple, polluting the altar, all those things. So you use the context of the book to figure out, okay, he's prophesying to this returning remnant that had the second temple standing. So the temple that was built in Nehemiah, it's there. And Ezra built the temple. That temple is standing, and he's prophesying against this remnant that is misusing the temple, which very much like leads into, there's 400 silent years, but you read Malachi and you get the sense of which direction Israel's going. So when John the Baptist and then Jesus shows up on the scene, the misuse of the temple is already, it's been going on for 400 years. And so sometimes you wonder, like, why is Jesus so angry about how this temple's being used? Well, it started all the way back here in Malachi with this returning remnant. Okay, so Malachi, we write this, post-exile. We know that because the temple was standing. And it's in the book. There's quite a lot of references. You could Malachi 3:1 is one place it's there. But actually the offering, the altar, the treasury, all those things are talked about, and those were rebuilt during Ezra and Nehemiah, okay? And he's, again, the only people left to prophesy to would be that returning remnant. So there is the 17 prophet books. And so what we're going to do over the next several weeks, we're going to start next week with the book of Isaiah. But now you should at least know who he's talking to, the time period. One thing I wanted to point out, and then I'm done, but I as I look at this chart, and so I like to build charts. It's like, it's a hobby of mine. I have a lot of charts, and I think they're fun. The reason I like it, as I look at this, God sent 12 prophets before the captivity. Like, look where, there's 17. Look where most of them are. If that's not God's long-suffering saying, and his mercy saying, hey, it's coming, it's coming, it's coming. When you get in reading the New Testament, Jesus references this a bunch. He goes, you should have listened to your fathers didn't listen to the prophets. They abused them, they killed them, they ran them out of town. He's talking about this group. 12 prophets before. But then, of course, Israel rejects. They go into captivity. You see God's mercy as he gives them Daniel and Ezekiel during the captivity. There's people prophesying there that are sustaining. Because as Israel as a whole rejects, there's always a few believers, right? There's 8 billion people in the world today. 8 billion. That's a lot. Do you know how many are Christians? I don't. But it's not a billion. It may be a few million, maybe. But I'm just telling you, the percentage is very, very small. But what it is God's got a lot of people saying, hey, like, it's happening. The Lord's coming back. Judgment is coming. You won't live forever. There will be a reckoning. We're preaching it all the time. And there's going to be a group that believes, and there's going to be a group that rejects. And that's what I see at the end of the chart, is you have these three prophets after, because there were some who came back. And so it's kind of neat to see it on a chart, and you can almost see the long-suffering of God, his grace, his mercy, and how everyone's got a chance. I mean, he sent prophets all over, and they got a chance. And so, again, it's we're not Israelites. Babylon is not at the door. It's a whole different scenario for us, but man, the picture's there. The picture's there for us today. So we'll stop there. Thank you for hanging in there with that. Next week, we're going to do Isaiah and Isaiah 23, because remember, we're looking at the prophet books, and then we're comparing them to Isaiah. Can you believe this? Isaiah as a whole, the book, and Isaiah 23 are like mirror images. Can you believe that? We're going to look at that next week. So be here for that. All right, Brother Mark.